Welcome to the Trill NBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose, Anuha, aka the Trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome back to the show. So listen, last week we defined what company culture is. And so this week we talk through identifying your company culture, identifying the successful narratives in your company culture. So like, what things do people need to know about you and your work style that will help you be successful in that type of culture? And then we're going to talk through how to adjust your style to thrive in that company culture. So that's what we're going to get into in this episode today. It is going to be packed with nuggets. So roll with me, y'all. Just roll with me. But first, Corporate Warrior Spotlight. Today, I'm excited because not only am I going to tell you about another corporate baddie, but what I love is this person reports into a CEO that is another Black woman. Today, I'm talking about Tracy Brown. Tracy Brown is Executive Vice President and President of Walgreens Retail and U.S. Chief Customer Officer, overseeing the transformation of Walgreens to a healthcare company. Wow. And she's responsible to create more joyful lives through better health. That is a huge responsibility as Walgreens is transitioning from a pharmacy to an actual like place you can go to see a doctor. All your primary care needs, that's their strategy going forward. So Tracy is responsible for the Walgreens consumer experience across all consumer touch points and leads development of strategies to advance Walgreens across a complex and dynamic competitive landscape. Because if y'all didn't know, healthcare is hard as a business. Brown oversees store operations, merchandising, marketing, product, digital, omnichannel store format, data, analytics, and supply chain organizations as Walgreens further accelerates its digital transformation in order to create a seamless integration across all channels, in-store, mobile, and online, to provide a unified, consistent brand experience. So basically, whether you're in the store, whether you're on your phone, whether you're on your computer, if you are a Walgreens consumer, you will not feel much of a difference when she gets done doing what she gonna do, okay? You better work, Tracy. Tracy has more than 30 years of experience driving business growth, operations, creating omnichannel customer experiences, and leveraging digital capabilities to connect consumers and brands. Most recently, she served as Chief Executive Officer for the American Diabetes Association, where she led the organizational transformation, including fundraising, advocacy, science, and research, while fighting for people living with diabetes. Prior to the American Diabetes Association, Brown was Senior Vice President, Operations, and Chief Experience Officer for Sam's Club, a division of Walmart, Inc. She also served as CEO and Managing Director of RAPP Dallas, a data-driven integrated marketing agency, Chief Operating Officer for Direct Marketing Agency, Direct Impact, and the Director of Worldwide Consumer Marketing for Advanced Micro Devices. She has done a lot, y'all. And then earlier in her career, she held leadership positions at American Express, Procter & Gamble, and ExxonMobil. Brown graduated from University of Delaware with her BS in chemical engineering and received her MBA from Columbia Business School in New York. She currently serves on the board of directors for Weight Watchers and Yeti. In 2021, she was named one of Savoy Magazine's most influential Black corporate directors. And in 2022, she was listed on Forbes' CEO Next List. So, if we connect the dots, she's been working with Roz Brewer for a minute. They probably connected at their time at Sam's, if I had to guess. This is why it's so important to do your best work and make those key relationships, because you never know who's going where. And there might be opportunity for you to tag along. So Tracy, continue being a baddie, working it out for Walgreens, and sounds like trying to help your people, girl, because who got diabetes? I mean, not me, but my peoples do. And a lot of our people do. So thank you, girl, for doing the work and being a corporate baddie. I don't know her personally, but if anybody knows her that listens to this podcast, please let her know. We shouted her out and we appreciate all of her accolades and paving the way for the rest of us. So now we're going to talk through this framework that I found online. It's called the Competing Values Framework, and it helps you understand your own company culture. Now, there's a whole company that's behind using this framework, and they are consultants on organizational behavior and organizational change. What we weren't gonna do is buy anything because we ain't got no money like that. But they had a lot of information on their website of their, you know, assessment and how they assess company culture. So today I'm going to kind of break down some of the things, a lot of the things that they said for free and get you thinking through, okay, so if I identify my company culture as this, how do I show up? Right? That's the whole point of this whole episode. Come on this ride with me, y'all. Here we go. Now, this competing values framework is validated by a ton of research, and they listed out the research. If you want to follow along on the page that I'm going to be talking from, you can click the link in the bio in sources, and then you'll see the page that I'm getting all this information from. All right. So this competing values framework helps you see what people value and emphasize when they organize activities. Whether they are in a for-profit organization, a sports club, a local community, or a family even, the framework shows where you are and where you'd like to go. And particularly when you put the lens of company over it, it really speaks volumes. Also want you to know, this competing values framework, also shortened to CVF, emerged from research to identify the organizational effectiveness criteria. So what are the criteria that they found that makes a difference in the effectiveness of organizations or how well organizations run? The criteria that were found to make a difference are the dimensions, internal versus external, and stability versus flexibility. So now let's talk through internal and external as a dimension. An organization might have an internal orientation, focusing inward. So they're focused on development, collaboration. They integrate activities and they coordinate highly collaborative internally, right? That's an internal part of the dimension. If you see an external orientation, they could be focused on the street, looking at the market. They're also looking more at competitors. They're really concerned about what their competitors are doing, you know, and also how is technology going to change their business? What's the latest technology out there? Should we buy it? What are our competitors doing? Once again, what do our consumers want? What do our customers want? And it could diversify a lot of the activities as a result, because they're not focused internally, they're focused externally, and that's what drives them. So both internal and external attention are needed to be successful in the long run. But depending on their environment, an organization will have a dominant preference. An agile, volatile market will evoke an external orientation, whereas a stable environment will allow for an internal focus. Note, the competing nature of the values, you have to choose whether you look inside or outside. You cannot do both at the same time. The second dimension is stability and flexibility. And organizations that prefer to organize for stability value clear structure, planning, budgets, reliability. So every year, you know what's coming. They have a planning session. If you are in an organization that has an annual operating plan, like, and it's a season, it's like 2-3 months of just running around like a monkey with your head cut off, making strat plans and getting approval and presenting and all these things, then you are probably in a very stable, reliable culture of organization. They assume that reality can be known and controlled. And it is, because every year you're going to kind of do the same thing. Organizations that organize with flexibility assume the opposite. You can never predict and control everything. They prefer a flexible attitude, an organization that is able to adapt quickly to changing circumstances. So they're focusing more on people and activities rather than structures, procedures, plans, cycling, what we did last year, all those things. The competing values nature of stability and flexibility prevents you from doing both at the same time. Organizations can spend their money, attention, and time only once. So they tend to emphasize certain values. The researchers, Quinn and Cameron, found that flexible organizations are most effective, which sometimes leads to contradictory behavior. The best organizations use all four sets of these dimensions when necessary. So I hope that made sense, because that's the foundation of what we're going to get to when we get back from the break. We're going to break down the four culture types in the framework that are on these dimensions and where they intersect. And then I'm going to help you think through how to think about where your organization sits in this framework when we get back from the break. So, hey guys, guess what? Your girl's out here in these streets. Yes, April 15th, y'all. Why don't y'all come out to LA? Come see a girl. Come holla at me. I am so fortunate. I will be the host and MC for the Black Marketers Association of America Shades of Marketing Tour, April 15th in Los Angeles, California. And if you come, if you register, I have a special discount code for you. And that code is, in all caps, TRILLMBA, all together. If you listen to this show and you click the link in the show notes and register to come hang out with the one, the only, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, and come and fellowship. If you're a marketer, this is a have to attend, must come out, must come through event. I'm telling you, it is going to be a good time. You are gonna laugh. You might even shed a corporate thug tear, but you definitely gonna get all these learning nuggets, okay? All the learning nuggets you're gonna get. So click the link in the bio if you want to come out. And remember, the code is TRILLMBA. It's going to be a blast. We're going to do some community building, some networking. We're going to get some gems dropped and some thought leadership. We got some amazing panelists and speakers coming out. And we're going to eat, y'all. And we're going to eat good. Okay? So if you're in LA, April 15th, come on out. Come see your girl at the Black Marketers Association of America Shades of Marketing Tour stop in Los Angeles, California. And I'm telling y'all, it's going to be amazing. And let me know if you are coming. Hit me up at ask@trillmba.com because I want to know if you're coming out because I'm going to be looking for you. Okay? All right. So remember, click the link in the show notes. The code is TrillMBA. All caps, and get your discount and come on out to hang out with us great marketers. If you're a marketer, you don't want to miss this. Now, let's get back to the show. Welcome back, guys. We talked about the competing dimensions, right? So mapping those two dimensions. So you've got the two competing dimensions. You've got internal and external dimension, and then you got stability and flexibility dimension. So when you map those out, you get four quadrants. So you get four organizational culture types. The first one is you get the dynamic entrepreneurial create culture. Then there's the people-oriented, friendly, collaborate culture. Then you get the process-oriented, structured control culture, or you get the results-oriented, competitive, competing culture. These organizational culture types are also known as the following. And I don't know if I like these, but this is what they've come up with. And you know who they are. You have adhocracy culture. These people clearly aren't marketers. I just want to throw that out there. You have clan culture. You have hierarchy culture. And you have market culture. So the researchers, Cameron and Quinn, they came up with this. So now, let's think through what the implications for each of these are. And I love how they kind of outline it here on this site. And you can read through these pages. And I'm not going to read all this to y'all, but I'm going to pick out what I think you should pay attention to. So let's start with the first one, which is the dynamic entrepreneurial create culture. This is the adhocracy culture. Ad hoc. Think about the word ad hoc. We're just going to do it willy-nilly, like ad hoc, just at will, at a whim. This is what we're doing. So some words you'll hear about these cultures, you'll hear things like, we're flying the plane while we build it. That sounds like death to me. I don't know about y'all, but that ain't safe. Some things you'll probably hear is we want to create and innovate. And where's innovation? And we have to innovate. And they talk a lot about the future and the future and the future, right? So one thing that Cameron and Quinn, I believe, have determined about this culture is it's a culture where employees can take risk and risk is probably encouraged. It's a very dynamic and creative working environment. And to me, what that translates into, it's sounding a little like startup culture sometimes. You know, people are rewarded for innovating and taking risk and experimenting. And, you know, it's fine. If we fail, let's make sure we learn from it. That's another thing you'll probably hear in these cultures. If you create new products and services, it's seen as a success. And the organization promotes individual initiative and freedom. So you're not going to get in trouble if you go by the mantra. And I love this, you know, don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. Will probably fit very well in this type of culture. One thing they say down here is that typical in sectors like technical startups, technology-driven industries, so communications and sustainability, but also disruptive services like an Airbnb and an Uber, which to me is still a startup, right? So those types of cultures where having a lot of processes and procedures and bureaucracy doesn't help you move the needle. Like, people don't see that as helpful. Even though it's funny when I think about my friends who work at companies like a Google or Amazon, you know, these younger companies, they're not like the McDonald's of the world or the Sears, you know, companies have been around like going on almost 100 years, and they have a lot of process in place. These newer companies, they don't. They're still trying to figure it out. So it's always strange to me, even like an Amazon or a Google who are big enough that they should have more structure and process in place. From what I hear, now I ain't never worked at either of these companies, but from what I hear, there's still a lot of flying by the seat of the pants, right? So this adhocracy, right? And it works though, but you just have to recognize, is this the type of culture I'm in? So if you're the type of person that just wants to put your head down and do your work, this culture may not work for you. And we'll get into that more a little bit later. The next culture is collaborate culture or clan culture. I particularly don't like the name, even though it starts with a C. And I know clan means something different, but it evokes in my spirit the ancestors. They stir. They say, huh? So yeah, I'm going to let that go. Clan culture. This working environment is friendly because they're a clan and people have a lot in common. They like to see themselves and it feels like a large family. We're all family. This is my work family. The leaders are seen as mentors and maybe even father figures. Their words, not mine. The organization is held together by loyalty and tradition. There is a great involvement. They emphasize long-term human resource development. Success is defined within the framework of addressing the needs of the clients and caring for the people. The organization promotes teamwork, participation, and consensus. Y'all, I have been in clan cultures. I'm gonna tell you right now, Lord help us. So they say here, characteristics of clan culture. Do things together, build teams, people matter. Long-term change. So they're not going to fly by the seat of their pants. Commitment, empowerment, cohesion, engagement, human development, collective wisdom, long-lasting partnerships and relationships. Roles like mentor and a coach, wary of conflict. Don't like conflict. These cultures do not like conflict. They do not particularly care for truth sayers either. We'll talk more about this culture. This is another, ooh, child, you got to be a certain kind of person. Now, they're saying the typical sectors that have this type of culture are healthcare, education, some government agencies, and not-for-profits. But I'm here to tell you, people, there are Fortune 500 companies that have been around a long time. They are steeped in tradition. And they operate like this. It's like, this is my family. This work is my family. It's an extension of me. I have worked here for 11 years. Clan culture. The next culture is called control culture or hierarchy culture. This is a formalized and structured workplace. Procedures direct what people do. Leaders are proud of efficiency-based coordination and organization. And that's key. Keeping the organization functioning smoothly is most critical. Formal rules and policies keep the organization together. Long-term goals are stability and results paired with an efficient and smooth execution of tasks. Reliable delivery, continuous planning, and low cost define success. The personnel management has to guarantee work and predictability. So some of the characteristics. Do things right. Eliminate errors. Incremental change. Step change. So you'll hear the phrase, oh, we're going to step change to that. That's a clue. Attention to details. You can't send emails that have typos. Careful decisions. Precise analysis. Probably analysis paralysis before there's decision making. Increase consistency and reliability. Well-informed experts. Do not surprise the senior leaders. Better processes and efficiency. There's routines. Do not try to break these routines. roles like organizers and administrators are all throughout the organization. The organizations will be characterized as conservative, cautious, logical problem solvers. So sectors like medicine, nuclear power, military, government, banking, and insurance and transportation, this falls right in line. Listen, we've been doing this. We know what we're doing. We're not really trying to change. If we need to change, we're going to over-evaluate it 50-11 times before we collectively make that decision. And even after that, we're going to have to make more decisions on when we're going to change it. How exactly are we going to change it? We ain't going to rip the Band-Aid off. Oh, no, no, no. This is going to be slow walked. Okay? Ooh, child. We'll talk about if you work in that kind of culture, how you need to show up. And then the last culture is a compete culture. Ooh, child. Or called a market culture. This is a results-based workplace that emphasizes targets, deadlines, and getting things done. This is my type of place. People are competitive and focused on goals. Leaders are hard drivers, producers, and rivals. They can be tough with high expectations. The emphasis on winning keeps the organization together. Reputation and success are the most important. Long-term focus is on rival activities and reaching goals. So what are our competitors doing? Are we beating them? Are we better than them? Did we knock them out? Market dominance, achieving your goals, the great metrics are the definitions of success. Competitive prices and market leadership are important. The organizational style is based on competition. So do things fast. Compete, move fast, play to win. Don't make no mistakes. Fast change. Like, hey, did it work? It didn't work. Hurry up. Don't even talk about it. Just keep going. Customer satisfaction, attack competitors, shareholder value. Speed, results right now. Getting things done, achieving goals. Acquire other firms, M&A. A lot of M&A is happening at these organizations. And then we outsource selected processes that like slow us down. Deliver results, make fast decisions, solve problems. Leaders are hard-driving, directive, commanding, and demanding. So sectors like consulting, accounting, sales, marketing, sales and marketing, those are functions, guys, not a sector. Anyway, service and manufacturing. So those are some of the companies that show up in that way. And it's funny because a lot of companies, they'll have a dominant one of these, but you'll see some of these other things sprinkled in. And that can make it really hard to determine how you should show up in each of these cultures. But when we come back from the break, I'm going to break down the nuggets that you need to think through. If you recognize that your culture is predominantly this one way, then this is how you should show up in order to help you succeed. So that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. Hey guys, do you want to be paid? Do you want to be promoted? I have the perfect course for you. It is our paid and promoted course. It is our professional development course for our corporate baddies, where we hold your hand and take you through the hurdles together and get you over them to get your next promotion. So if you're sitting there and you're like, I've done everything. I work hard. I over-deliver. I have great performance evaluations. I just don't know why Tom got promoted over me. I just don't know why Karen got promoted over me. I don't know why mediocre Mike just got a promotion when I've been doing half his work. Why, Lord, why? If you identify with anything I just said, this course is for you. So the course is going to start soon. So you need to sign up soon. And I'm excited because, listen, we got some tools where you gonna go ask your employer to pay for this for you, because it's professional development. And I'm here to help you be a better person for your organization. Yeah, because guess who gets paid and promoted? the people who are best for the organization. So go to trillmba.com/coaching and sign up for a 15-minute consult with me. I want to just make sure that we have what you need and that your specific situation lines up to how this course is laid out and situated, and that we will get you promoted in the next about year to 18 months or so. That's always our goal, according on your company culture. So again, trillmba.com/coaching, and holla at your girl. Let's chat and we'll see how we can work together and get you promoted, because you deserve it. It's probably beyond time. All right, let's wrap up the show. All right, guys, listen, I'm going to break down now things you need to think through about how you show up in each of these cultures. So we're going to go back and we're going to start with the creative culture, the adhocracy. This culture, if you do not like ambiguity, if you know you don't thrive well in ambiguity, run from this culture. This culture is not for you. This culture is full of experimentation. They want you to be an intrapreneur. So you're like an internal entrepreneur at your role. Like, they're looking for you to share your point of view. So the way you thrive in this culture is being an ideas person. Coming and saying, hey, I want to do this. We could do this. What about this? This would be great. I see this. I see that. Like, if you're that type of person, this is the culture for you. Because I'm telling you, as long as you have a manager who really understands you, and then you're able to communicate to the organization in a way that's effective. So this is the thing you have to be really intentional about, is framing up your ideas so that they can be received, acknowledged, and funded. That's the skill you truly need in an organization like this, because you want the organization to believe in your ideas and give you the resources to get after it and make the company money. So, like, if you like to break rules, if you want to be autonomous, if you don't need anybody hovering over you, because these people ain't got time to hover over you, because they're over here trying to make things happen too, right? So this is the type of company where if you're a micromanager, you're not going to bode well in this company. Because people are going like, why are you wasting time doing that? We're trying to build a plane. Don't you see we're flying? What are you doing? Why are you standing over the stewardess while she's putting ice in the cups so we can, you know, be refreshed as we put this wing on? Girl, sit down. So, like, you really can't be afraid of the ambiguity, the uncertainty, the risk of it all. We take chances. That's what that culture is. So if you're the type of person that thrives in that type of environment, these are the type of companies you need to be looking to work at, because those are the type of companies that are going to appreciate you. They're going to value you. You're going to be a vital part of the team. They're going to promote you. Okay. That's how you think through that. Like, what's my risk tolerance? Like, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be 100 and real with yourself, because if you're not, you're going to get in a cool company like, oh, let me go work for Uber. And then you're going to be miserable. You're not going to make it. It's not going to be good. You're going to cry. Okay. We don't need no crying over jobs. My grandma used to say, baby, dick come a dime a dozen. I'm going to tell you right now, jobs come a dime a dozen. Like, there's lots of jobs out here. Don't be confused. I know we're seeing a lot in the news. Layoffs, layoffs, layoffs. The unemployment numbers are still very low, guys. There's still lots of job works out here. There's lots of work to be done, and there's still not enough people to do it all. So don't get your mind crossed up. You just need to make sure that you can communicate and articulate why you would be good for that culture in that company, okay? Companies are fuckboys. Treat them accordingly. That is my TED Talk. Now, the next culture, collaborate culture or clan culture. This culture, you have to go to the happy hour. You have to go to the company Christmas party. You have to go to the Thanksgiving dinner in the cafe. You have to fellowship with your team. You got to do it, because if you don't, it will feel like you don't want to be there, and it will feel like you don't belong. And that's the fastest way to get exited out of this culture, is if you don't play along and act like they your family. Okay? I know, I feel cringy too. I felt that. Mm-hmm. It's okay. This is what you got to do. So if you find yourself in this type of culture, you got to play along to get on. Now, if you're comfortable with that, if you like these people like that, and you want to be open and a little vulnerable, that's going to get you far in this organization, because people feel like they know you and they're like, oh, you're just like my daughter. I now want to help you. I'm going to be your father at work, right? He even said, the leaders are seen as mentors or maybe even father figures. Your sponsor is going to feel responsible for you like he feels responsible for his daughter in this type of culture. And it has a lot of tradition and it's a lot of loyalty. And so in this culture, the other thing you have to tell people is like, you love it here. Like, that was going to go a long way, because when you say you love it there, they're saying you love them. Because they are the culture, they are the team, and people matter. Even though we all know people don't matter, but they gonna say people matter. These are all the things they gonna say. And it is so key to build relationships in this culture. You cannot get nothing done in this culture without relationships. And then the other thing in the calibration in this type of culture, you gonna need multiple people to chime in and sing your name and praises. Like, way more than normal. And you also need the one who has the loud voice, you know, the loud cousin that suck up all the air out the room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need that person on your side. So you're going to have to make friends with that person, even though they annoy the fuck out of you. That's this culture. Do not get into a culture like this if you're a very private person and all you want to do is go to work and put your head down and do your work and be left alone. If you want to be left alone, like if you don't want to be in office, like these cultures, they want you to come back to the office. Because you can't have no office potluck if ain't nobody in the office. Karen can't bring her raisin laced potato salad if you're not in the office. So you gotta be in the office with them. Also, another thing about these cultures, you have to be really nice to the clients or the customers or what have you. Because if the customers come and complain about you, you could lose your job, even if it ain't true. Got to walk a little fine line there. That's these cultures. Because why? Because they've been their clients for 100 years. That's why. And you've been there how long? Girl, you just got here. You're new to the family. Know your role. All right. The next culture, this control culture. Okay. These are these very structured, very formal workplaces where you need to be suited and booted. So coming to work dressed like conservatively, but like to the nines conservative, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like Molly, when she would see Molly on Insecure go to work. So it was a little fashionable, but it was very straight laced. That's going to go far in this type of organization. So you want to dress the part, look the part. You want to show up to work every time the same day, and you want to leave every time the same day. You want to show up as you are very structured. And when you speak in meetings, you don't need to be the, you don't have to like, I got to get my POV. I got to have all these ideas like other cultures. And this, you need to have facts, figures, data, and analysis and conclusion and a decision at the end. And then you need to do some consensus building. And you need not break any rules or any game. Like, these are the rules. This is how we operate. This is how we work. We're not trying to change that. If we need to change, we will. But do we need to change is going to be the question. Like, why do we need to change? What's the data say? And you need to be an expert in whatever you're working at in this organization. And the experts will get promoted. It's that important to this type of organization. And I kind of like these kind of organizations sometimes because they follow their own rules most of the time, more than any of these other cultures. They will go by the book. And so if somebody's breaking policy, you can just bring that up. Like, hey, I think it might be against the policy. I mean, I'm not trying to make any waves or cause any changes or problems. I just want to bring this to your attention and, you know, get your opinion about it. You know, I don't know. See something, say something. But, you know, I ain't really trying to say something. But, you know, you let me know. I'm here to help. And I'm going to go back and do my analysis. Yeah, that's this culture. Okay. So know the rules. Follow the rules. Also, the good thing about them having rules and structure like that is that their calibration process and how they promote people will be very much pretty much by the book. There's still going to be some bias because relationships will come into play in these cultures. But if you make the relationships and then you follow the structure of, you know, hey, it's going to take you 18 months to get promoted. You need to be in your role for 18 months. This culture is going to make you stick to that. But then you know you now have a plan for your 18 months. But once 18 months is up, it's fair game, baby. We're going after this promotion. That's the type of culture that is. So those are some things to think through how you show up in this culture. If you have some glasses you can wear, I say wear your glasses, put your hair in a bun if you can. Telling you, go get it, suited and booted. All right. And the last culture is this compete culture, this market culture. They're always focused on what people on the outside are doing. So a little tidbit about this culture, you will be seen as a rock star if you bring them information, like you keep mining information from the outside and bringing it inside, especially about competitors. And then if you come with a POV and you're always like moving fast and saying, hey, I think if we do this, we could counteract it this way, this will work. And then you're very like, you know, go, 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 go. I think the thing that I don't like about these types of cultures, this inbred competition, it can, if you let it, it leads to a lot of distrust because everybody's trying to get the next role. Everybody's jockeying and fighting to get, you know, higher up because everything's a competition. And if that's not really, like, you're not about competition, like, that doesn't jazz you up, stay away from this culture because you'll just be fucking annoyed the whole goddamn time. Because you're like, you can have it. I don't want it. Like, why are you over here trying to get intel from me? I don't care. Go kiss ass. Oh, you're going to see a lot of kiss asses in this culture. So it's not going to be real relationship building or not as authentic of relationship building. So if you can build authentic relationships in this culture, that will be a game changer for you and that will help you succeed. Because in a land of fakeness, genuine connection will be valued more. And that's why it says reputation and success are the most important. So your reputation, and if you come across as like, hey, I will help you. I'm not trying to stab you in the back. If you come with high integrity, you could win in this culture. But the problem is, you always got to be looking behind your back because these colonizers will stab you in this culture real quick. They have it, all the incentive to do so. They'll probably get a pat on the back as you bleed out over your body. So like, it's eat or be eaten in this culture. And that's fine, right? That's fine. But just be careful in this culture and focus on making sure you deliver. Because that's, you know, the bare minimum. And then how do you over-deliver is important in this culture. And then being able to move quickly, doing things quickly. It's a lot of work. You got to move fast. So those are all the things you need to think about if you're in any of these cultures. Now, listen, let me tell you something, though. It's time for the most important thing. The most important thing, guys, grow, expand, learn. But what you never want to do is you never want to fundamentally change the core of you. So I know we talked through, you know, all this, how to show up in these different cultures, how you should adapt to survive in your surroundings. But I'm gonna tell you right now, if the surroundings are toxic, then you need to quit and find new surroundings. There is a best place for you to work. It's there, it's out there, okay? And you deserve to feel comfortable in your own skin at work so that you can focus on just that, the work. There is nothing wrong with playing into the organizational culture and understanding the organizational culture and how to build relationships in that culture, how to show up in that culture, how to drive your narrative in that culture, what's important and what's not, and discerning that will help you show up in that way. There's nothing wrong with any of that. As long as your integrity remains intact, that's all that matters. So do you, boo. Now, if you need some help or advice about a specific situation, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email me. I love getting emails from you guys at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consult with me, or ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. If you have a listener letter, put listener letter in the subject line. And that means I can read your listener letter on the show. And if I read your listener letter on the show, I will gift you a free consult with me. So send me your listener letters, guys. And until next time, keep it true. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Brian Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.